Nanaia Mahuta joins us, our Minister for Foreign Affairs, and also the MP for Waikato Hauraki Tohine. Tēnā koe, Nanaia.
Oh, kia ora, Dale.
Thanks for joining us. Look, if you read the mainstream media, everyone would think that the election's already been won. But I spoke with Willie yesterday, you might concur as well, that this is going to be a tighter race than many are predicting. How do you read the lay of the land politically as we dissolve Parliament today, Nanaia?
Well, look, I've been in politics long enough to know that polls this far out from the election are just an indicator at a point in time. But the real poll is people getting on the street, getting out, letting people know what's at stake at this election, and then getting to the polling booth. So we've got a long way to go. We're going to be launching our campaign on Saturday. That's for the Labor Party. We're continuing to make announcements so that people know not only what have we done, but what are we announcing going into this next term? How are we going to address the cost of living? So it's game on and all hands to the wheel, because we'll be pushing hard to ensure that the progress that we have made can continue.
There's a picture being painted that every time we go to the checkout and there's a price rise, it's Labor's fault. What would you say of the geopolitical environment and the international economic environment and its contribution to our financial realities at the checkout?
Yeah, well, first things first, many of us within the government would acknowledge that whānau are doing it hard, and cost of living is the challenge right now. And those global pressures are bearing down in many countries, not just New Zealand. And when I think about a protracted war in Russia and Ukraine, what that's doing to supply chains, rising interest rates, all these things are affecting other countries as well. So it's our responsibility as the government to then say, well, what can we do to help ease cost of living pressures, but also to get the economy through this period of time post-COVID, with a war continuing? What are we going to do to ensure that day to day the economy is still ticking over? That's why we're really trying to make sure that we're targeting the investments that we're making. We're in winter, the winter energy payment is there. We know that families are working and with kids, and it's hard, so we're increasing working for families. We're continuing to adjust the minimum wage. We're continuing to adjust benefits. So all those targeted levels of support contribute to easing cost of living. And as you know, Dale, we've announced things like removing GST off food as a way to address cost of living pressures. And there are other things in the pipeline that will make a difference.
In Australia, lots of basic food items are GST exempt. I think it's meat, fish, flour, many different foods, not just fruit and vegetables. Why hasn't the government looked into doing the same with other food products?
Well, we've got to do it in a way that is as easy as possible to administer. There'll be no doubt that we'll be looking at the way in which Australia manages to remove, I guess, their equivalent of GST off fresh fruit and vegetables. But, you know, the Prime Minister's already answered that question. We'll start there. We know we can achieve it, and we know Australia is a model that we can look to as an exemplar of how to administer that particular initiative.
Tēnā koe, Māori seem to be fair bait for many of the right-leaning political parties. If in doubt, blame co-governance or unequal opportunities for Māori. What do you think of that as a political tactic?
Well, it's got to stop. I think both ACT and New Zealand First, sadly, are baiting that particular hook. But the way that it could stop is if National says we don't tolerate that, but they won't. So they are benefiting from this narrative that is being put out and driven, and it's unhealthy. It's not good for New Zealand. And Māori themselves have said, as recently as the Koronehana, stop making Māori the political football of election campaigns. And I know that Chris Hipkins and our Labor team, we don't want Māori to be a political football. We don't want Pacific people to be a political football. We don't want ethnic communities, transgender communities, those who are most vulnerable to be a political football. We want to focus on the issues, and we'll continue to do that.
Finding a lot of small change, kaupapa, being used here in the build-up to the October election, i.e. cell phones, you know, banning cell phones in schools, sort of a lot of low-hanging fruit, but very little talk, certainly from your political opponents, and the mahi you've been doing, for instance, and that's the geopolitical pressures, trade issues with China, military intent through the Pacific. A lot of this important stuff doesn't appear to be on the table leading into the election. You've had exposure to a lot of that international whakaaro. What do you say of perhaps a lack of focus on some of these international influences that will also impact on our way of life in NZ?
Yeah, look, I think as we head into the election, most Kiwis, most New Zealanders are primarily focused on what's happening here at home. And it's not often that election campaigns are won and fought on foreign affairs, international relations and things like that, except for the economy. And what we can say hand on heart as a government, that since we have been in government, we have worked hard to ensure that we've got greater diversity in our export trade platforms. We've got the UK and the EU FTA. There are Indigenous chapters in there, so it's about the Māori economy and the New Zealand economy. We've also managed really complex relationships, like those with China, but also, you know, the geostrategic rivalry that's happening within our region, managing the relationship with the US and our closest neighbours. Australia has been a key part of our approach to ensure that we just keep our ship steady as we sail through these headwinds, which are economic headwinds, to maintain our viability as a small trading nation that will continue to export goods and services overseas. But, you know, elections aren't won and fought on foreign policy. They are won and fought on the ground at home in our communities on the things that people really feel. And so that's the basis upon which we'll be fighting our way through to Election Day.
Well, Parliament dissolves officially, I think it's today. What does that mean for you? What mode do you step into off the back of your responsibilities in Wellington?
Well, I think you can hear it. It's election mode all the way now. Every waking moment for every member of our government will be out there talking about what we've done, what we want to continue to do, but also earning the trust and support of the electorate as we take them through to Election Day. I've still, you know, as a minister, like my other ministerial colleagues, we've still got ministerial responsibilities, but we certainly will be campaigning.
How important do you think for Māori to utilise the early voting opportunities? I see that last time around the Naira, over a million, perhaps 1.2, voted before October the 14th, taking some pressure off our traditional requirements of ensuring people get to the polling booths. Now it's got a period prior to October 14 where people can lodge their votes. How important for Māori to utilise that time frame?
Yeah, really important. Early voting starts, I understand, on October the 2nd. But for Māori whānau and households, there is some really simple things we can do just within our whānau. One, make sure everybody in our whānau who is able to vote is able to register to vote. Secondly, it's about whānau motivating whānau. And we know that if we get our mama and our grandmothers kind of in into this mode, then we will have a higher success rate of people who are voting, maybe even for the first time, to get to the polling booth. But I would get everybody on the roll and registered to vote first, then vote early. And then for our whānau over in Australia, many of which, who since the borders have opened, have come back to New Zealand, they'll be eligible to vote. So we've really then got to give them the information as to how to vote. And that's the other thing we can do, because a lot of us have whānau over in Australia, and they do take an interest in what's happening here, and they often take their lead from whānau who are experiencing and living here And if you are benefiting under the changes we're making as a government, you let your whānau and Aussie know as well so they can vote and make their vote count.
Tēnā koe. Thanks for joining us. I look forward to speaking to you from the hustings now that Parliament has dissolved. Ngamhi te whananga. Thanks so much, Ninoa.
Kia ora.
Tēnā koe. Tēnā koe.